And of course, this is another hour to go of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM, plus the rude hotline. What have you seen? Who have you seen that was rude? 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome back. Let's get this hour rolling. Let's go to the rude line first. James is with us, Vancouver, Washington. Hey, James, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good.
Thanks. That's good. Hey, I am a legally blind individual, and I've had a lot of rude experiences with people in this life, and one of my experiences is with basically transportation. And with transportation, a lot of the times, drivers do not know, they don't understand that we have disabilities, and basically, it's really hard for somebody who has a disability. We get treated so poorly in this country compared to somebody like you who do not have a disability.
Well, you know what? I think people are rude to everybody. I think if you're rude, you're just rude, like the woman was at the post office for me. But in your particular case, what have they done to you, James?
A lot of the things they've done, George, is basically it's from the transportation is the big one.
But explain that. What do you mean the trans? Because you don't drive, right?
No, I don't drive at all, no. And basically, oh, well, you're blind? Oh, my gosh, can you believe that? And I went blind from a stroke when I was 2 days old completely.
Yeah.
And basically, people don't understand disabilities, and they are basically, I don't drive from the transportation standpoint. It's like, okay.
Are you saying like bus drivers are rude and people like that?
Bus drivers are rude. It's the people who go to work and they want to get their paycheck and get out.
See, I would bend over backwards to help somebody with a disability and help them out, whether you need help going up steps or opening a door or whatever. I mean, I just do that. I was born to do that. My parents taught me that, and that's just the way I am. And
see,
you know,
this world is, it's so selfish. I'm sorry, I don't mean to use that word a lot, but it's just like a lot of the people are so selfish, and they don't care. They don't tell this generation even is so messed up because they want what they want when they want it.
I mean, is it obvious that you're blind? I mean, do you walk with a cane or do you have a seeing eye dog or anything like that?
I walk with a cane, and using my cane is my independence. But when it comes to needing assistance, everybody sits still and they go, oh, why should I help him? Or like when I went to school, it was so hard for me to go to school because a lot of people did not understand blindness, and they did their special education system in this country is different because they don't know how to help people. And with the country and the economy the way it is, they can't afford to buy us textbooks. They can't afford to buy us anything. And, you know, it's really sad.
James, let me ask you this. You're obviously blind, but you can talk, you can smell, you can hear. But if you were to give up one of your senses, which one would that be at this point now?
If I could give up one of my senses?
Yeah.
Probably, I'd rather be, I don't know, that's hard because I'm 100% blind, probably my hearing, because my hearing is like...
Would you trade your hearing so you could have full vision again?
Yes.
In a heartbeat?
In a heartbeat, because I'll tell you why. It's because as a blind person, it's harder to see. I'd rather be able to see things around me than having totally blindness in one of my both of my eyes.
Right. Now, how old are you?
I'm only 20 years old.
20 years old. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, if I'm prying, tell me. Can you have a relationship? I mean, can you date?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I can have a relationship. Right now, I don't, but...
But have you ever?
Yeah, I've been with somebody, and...
Was that person blind?
I don't date blind people.
You do not date blind, okay.
I date decided people because I find the people who are very, I guess I can say, Christian-like, because they are more understanding type of people.
All right.
Compared to the people who are non-religious.
Do you get an impression of what they look like the way they sound?
Yeah, like if you talk to me, let's say you and I were having a conversation, and let's say we were face-to-face, I would basically say, oh, that's George, or with my roommate situation, oh, that's Michaela. I would basically sit there and say, oh, that's who that is. Okay.
All right. Now, has anybody ever described you to me in terms of appearance? Because I'm going to ask you a question after that.
I have a feeling what you look like, but no, not really.
All right. So now here's the big question. What do I look like based on my voice?
I don't know what you look like through your voice. Basically, I would have to have you describe to me what you look like.
See, that would be easy, I think, for me to do that. But, I mean, you can't pick up by my inflections or anything or my demeanor what I might look like?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right, that's interesting. Interesting. Well, right, what you need is to have somebody go to our website and then describe you to me.
Yeah, I'm going to. I mean, I've been a listener of yours for 5 years and first-time caller, actually. And I'll tell you, I mean, I love the program. I've listened to, you know, when Art does his New Year, whatever it is, in the beginning of the year when he does his predictions.
He doesn't do that anymore.
No? Not anymore?
He's in the old baseball world, he's hung up his cleats.
Yeah. He's a good guy, though. You know, you both are really good guys. And, you know, and I mean, it's awesome. I listen every single night.
Well, thank you, James. Yeah, you need anything, you get a hold of us, okay?
Oh, I will. And take care of yours.
Okay, kid.
Tell everybody I say hello, and I love you all.
All right, my friend. Be well. Yeah, and I mean that. You need anything, you get a hold of us somehow. You have a friend send us an email or do whatever you need to do. Next up, let's go to whose turn is it? It's Jeff's turn in Marysville, Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I have an experience I'd like to share with you and with the audience.
Sure.
Before I do that, I just give you a brief history. I'm 31, and all of my life I've experienced odd paranormal and what I believe to be extraterrestrial encounters starting when I was a baby. They were usually kind of brief, some a dreamlike state, others where I was conscious and remember them. But Wednesday morning, I had probably one of the most vivid and realistic experiences that scared the living daylights out of me, and just wanted to tell you about it. I woke up at 3:30 on Wednesday morning, which I usually, you know, I do that quite frequently. I'll get up at 3:30 or 3:33 in the morning and get up and get a drink of water. Well, I did that very same routine Wednesday morning, and had an odd feeling to look out the window.
Okay.
So I walked over to the window, took a look outside, and didn't really notice anything. So went and petted the cat, and I went back to bed and laid there for a few minutes, looked over at the clock, and it was about 3:45, and I fell back asleep. Well, next thing I know, I wake up to what sounds like a lightning strike. And I thought, well, this is peculiar. So I sit up in bed, and I'm listening for the rain. I don't hear any rain, but I notice the windows in our bedroom are flashing like strobe lights. And so I raised the shade on the window, and I look outside, and I look up at the sky, and I notice the sky is strobing. Well, at that moment, I'm excited, right? Because I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is extraterrestrial.
Yeah, this is it. Everything I've waited for, right?
Exactly. Everything I've waited for. So I reach over to shake my girlfriend and wake her up. I'm like, honey, wake up. Wake up, aliens. Aliens are outside. Wake up. And I cannot wake her up. She just will not wake up.
That's scary. Did you think something was wrong with her?
Well, yeah, I thought, well, if this is really happening, then this may be a very common occurrence. The individual or your partner cannot wake them up. Well, at that time, I heard like a thud or like bumping in the house, and I was like, "Honey, wake up! They're in the house." And my excitement turned to fear and panic, so I got out of bed. I reached and grabbed my pistol from my bedside drawer, went to rack the slide and put a round in the chamber. And, George, I swear for the life of me, I could not put a bullet in the chamber. Either I was very weak or some force was acting on me and locked my hands. And at that moment, I turned and something shoved me up against the wall. And I was only standing about 2 inches from the wall anyway. So I'm pressed up against the wall and pushed down into the fetal position. And at that point, I'm terrified, thinking, what in the world? I've got to get out of this situation. And I thought about one of your, you've had a couple of guests on in the past that talked about praying to God or Jesus or you know, praying to stop an experience, if I remember correctly.
Yes, you're right.
So I did. I prayed to God. I prayed to the angels, to Jesus, to whoever could help get me out of that situation. At that point, I blacked out. Well, I wake up all of a sudden again, and I sit up in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, is this real, or am I still dreaming?
Where's the gun?
The gun actually was back in the drawer.
That's weird.
That was weird, and I looked at the clock, and it's 4:46 a.m., and it's an hour later. So I reach over to shake my girlfriend, wake her up, and she wakes up this time, and she asks me what's wrong. Say, I either just had one of the most vivid experiences, you know, abduction dream experiences of my life, or I really was abducted. I don't know what's going on. So I told her, I said, I need to just lay here for a few minutes to wrap my mind around this. And so I thought about it and came to what I thought the logical conclusion that, okay, it was a dream, and I went back to sleep. Well, the next day I get up and I'm thinking more about it. I'm like, maybe this is real. Like I said before, based on my history and experiences that I had that I know were real, I thought maybe this is. So I started to look around for clues. I noticed on the wall where I had been pushed up against it in my dream or whatnot, there was a rather long and prominent scratch across the wall, which I believe came from my ring, exactly where I was pressed up against it.
I got to tell you something. First of all, you had the classic possible abduction case. Do you remember what they might have looked like?
I don't remember.
But you felt that physical push against the wall, so you know there was someone in that room.
I do. Yes, I felt the physical force act on me. And the craziest thing is I was talking to my brother about it Thursday, which is, I guess, yesterday. And that very night, 1 hour before this happened to me, he was awakened in his room by the feeling of something being in the room with him. He went back to sleep. An hour later, he woke up, which was 3:30, I guess, about right before my experience. And he said he was eerily cold and his bed was very cold. And now he's had experiences growing up as well. And he claims that he actually punched a gray in the face and I don't know, you know what I mean?
And all this, Jeff, was when you were where? Still in Ohio?
Yeah, this happened Wednesday morning at 3:30.
Okay, okay. Well, that's interesting. The Midwest. We've been getting a lot of strange reports of UFO activity all around the place. California, Florida, Texas. They're getting lots of UFO cases. Maybe something's going on. I'm not sure. But that's kind of scary. Florence, Oregon, we go. It's Mark's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, George. Good evening to you.
You too, sir.
Hey, George, by the way, that young man who, excuse me, the young man who's unsighted, the caller before last,
yeah.
I find that to be really a shame when you have someone who is so courageous to get out there with that particular, we call it a disability, but at least a person very vulnerable. And it's such a shame that people would not try to help them make their life as pleasant as possible.
Oh, my
really,
God, yeah.
Appreciate their character.
And simple things like open the door for the guy, you know, or something.
Absolutely. It's like the world is turned upside down in some very important ways, at least in America these days. But, George, not the main reason I called, but I did want to mention to you that I listen to a lot of researchers. I spend a lot of time at it. And I remember several months ago, and given the number that I listened to, I can't remember who it was exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I filed it away. I don't listen to nonsense. I'm very serious about the information I take in. And this person said that actually these are drone flights for the most part, if not totally by now, because I heard this roughly 4 months ago. So you have, you know, that technology existent for some time now in airplanes where they can
And even when they tested them, there's no question in my mind that a lot of people were looking at drones.
Mm-hmm.
They're shaped weird. They're strange objects.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, government never would tell them. I mean, nobody ever told us, hey, we have drones. I mean, they just appeared.
Yes, yes. And no one will be told. Any way to deceive people that they deem necessary, they will do it. And, that in itself may not really gain them much or anything, but I think it's really just for efficiency. If there are any pilots left, I think they know that if they disclose publicly in any way with the surveillance police state, if you will, that we have existent in this country these days, that they would be found out probably very easily. But, George, the Sandy Hook situation, it's happened 3.5 months ago or so. And in that 3.5 months, beginning immediately after the incident, there has just been a tremendous amount of evidence which has been accumulated, which cross-indexes, as far as I've seen, 100%, as far as people actually digging in and finding out the real story on what happened at Sandy Hook and who is responsible. And what it amounts to, George, is it equates to a false flag. They will have one more, as Dianne Feinstein said several weeks ago. You know, she said there will be another event, quote unquote. So this is their methodology, and I have a very strong intuition, and that just comes from everything I take in, going to the subconscious, to the guys in the basement, then being set up again, at least fairly soon, I always hope. And I come to my conscious conclusions through my intuitive feelings about it. You just see the picture all of a sudden. It's not a thought process consciously. The truth forms in front of you, basically. It's been proven for me time and again. But they will, at the rate that they're going, that rate of success that they're having, such as in the Connecticut legislature just today, I believe, they're going to have another event, and this event will be big enough to actually bring in a uniform gun turn-in, basically. And if it's not big enough, there'll be another one shortly down the line.
So you think that this is truly an effort to get our guns?
Well, everyone's discussing the Second Amendment, George, and we know what this is all about. Alex called it right off, and it's really obvious on the face of it, but it's what follows that. You know, I was listening to a gentleman who's on your network on another show tonight, CL are the initials. I'll say the name if you wish, but at any rate, one caller called in from North Carolina, and he and his son went fishing, and they were walking through a remote area to get to the body of water that they were going to fish in.
Mm-hmm.
And they found on spur tracks, which crossed the trail, they came across Amtrak type of passenger cars, but they had slits for windows and they had horizontal bars behind the slits. And they went aboard, there was no one else around, and they went aboard and they looked, and there were manacles on the floor and manacles on the seat to keep a person totally immobilized in transit.
Oh, and, yeah, there's no question that they've got vehicles like that, that they've got camps out there. No question. My take on Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza, the 20-year-old, did that. He probably was on drugs, psychotic drugs, and it pushed him over the edge. Has government taken advantage of that to try to take away guns? Absolutely. But was he programmed? I don't think so. I think this was a sick individual, and he did what he did. We'll be back. Well, in a little more than 9 hours, I will be in the Burbank Parade. So if you're in the greater Los Angeles area, come on out. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. We should have some fun, and we'll be out there waving to the crowds. And then Saturday night, of course, John B. Wells will be on with his guest, none other than Whitley Strieber, talking about things going on in space and the climate. I'll be on Sunday, emerging artists, and we'll also talk about psychic energy. So make sure you're part of us all weekend long, and then we'll be back again with a full week of shows for you, starting again on Monday. We shall be back with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll go, first of all, to Lee in Salem, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Lee.
George, I'm actually the Lee that called a few weeks ago about my heart and you had a caller about an hour ago. As I was on being put on hold, he was coming on air.
Yeah.
And speaking about...
How you feeling?
My story a few weeks ago.
How you doing?
Well, I wasn't doing too good. I was having some chest pains a little earlier.
Oh, boy. That's not... Did Christian get a hold of you yet?
Actually, no. And, that's one of the reasons that I called. But also, I heard what the other person was saying while I was waiting. And I understand, they have this pyramid of care where, if you're in the hospital, with an artificial, like an LVAD or something, and for your listeners who don't know what that is, it's a left ventricular assist device. And it's basically an artificial heart attached to your heart, and it's doing the work of it. You can be at home with that, and which puts you on the middle tier.
Mm-hmm. And you're not even there yet, are you?
No. And with my heart deteriorating the way that it is, I don't know. I just feel like, they could have lied to me and told me I'm on a list to make me feel like I'm at least worth saving.
Yeah, and tell you there's 1,000 people ahead of you.
I know, and this is there's, like I said, the people like me on medication at home at the bottom of the pyramid. If you flip that pyramid, then you can eliminate 2 tiers of it.
Well, do me a favor. We're still waiting for Christian to get a hold of you. He's got your information. Again, no promises on what the doctors are going to say. That's them. That's not Christian. He has no idea. All he does is get you to the right people and keep plugging along. And we did talk to you 2 weeks ago. So, again, our prayers are with you. Let's go to Charlie in Cincinnati, Ohio. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Live to me, Charlie. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
You called.
Yes. I just wanted to respond. I've been in New York from the West. I've been with what would be called the rudest people of New York, the Fashion Week people.
The Fashion Week people? They're the rudest?
New York Fashion Week. All the models, all the freaking people. I do the sets. Yes?
Okay. So what's your point?
Well, and you had a person who said that East Coast people are just rude and nasty and terrible. And I take exception to that. The first time I ever was in New York, I found them the most, they were very pleasant people.
Except in an elevator.
In an elevator, anywhere. In the subway.
Really? You see, you're one of the lucky ones. You're one of the lucky ones because even when I was in New York, I was in an elevator and I says hi to somebody. They didn't even look up. They looked at their shoes. They don't look up. Subways, I can understand that. People get pushed off subways into the train. So, you know what? If somebody wants to come up and talk to you, if you want directions on a subway, go to one of their Metro Police people because most people aren't going to help you with that at all. But hey, I love New York, and I love New Yorkers. They're great people. But I'm telling you, on an elevator, they're not going to talk to you. They really aren't. Next up, we go to Asheville, North Carolina. Roy's with us on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hey, Roy.
Hello, George.
Hello.
You are a smart man to go to Canada in the early summer.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, that's what the geese do north of the summer.
Well, that's right. That's how I learned.
Yeah. Your caller before the half-hour break felt Sandy Hook was a false flag. I would have loved to hear why he thought that. He sounded very intelligent and informed, and this is just one very small symptom, I think. It seems to me that the U.S. is in the early stage of a civil war, and I'm coming from the left wing, I'll tell you right off, George. I think this civil war is caused by the right wing. I'm kind of an expert on conspiracies starting with Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is spot on. I'm not sure that's a conspiracy anymore, you know?
Yeah. That was the military-industrial complex and the right wing not wanting progress in every way. We got these crazy theories out there by the it's like the gun nuts are kind of parallel to the slavery powers before the American Civil War of the 1860s. They're coming up with all these crazy theories, like fighting the government, for one thing. You can't even, the government, if it wanted to, anybody can shut down the infrastructure so easily. There's no way to fight the government unless you actually take the government's arms. So arming this population, we're doing this arming ourselves and gun trafficking all over. It's just murdering and maiming and mayhem on the general populace is all it's doing.
What are you saying, though, that we should not be armed?
No, we should have regulation like every other sensible country has done. It's a little bit of work. But you see Australia and Canada, those are some tough people, George. You go up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't see, look, I'm a gun owner. I don't have any problems with somebody doing a background check on me.
Yeah.
You know what? And if it shows up that I was some heinous criminal, don't give me a gun.
Yeah, and Canada and Australia now, to have a handgun, that's where most of our crimes are committed. That's a concealable hand cannon when you're carrying around a handgun. That's either a police weapon or somebody that has to have one for a reason, like long-haul truckers, guys working out in the middle of nowhere.
I'm telling you, though, that a concealed weapon state has lower crime than one that doesn't.
No, George, that's not true.
I've seen the statistics. You got to come on when I have John Lott on one day.
Oh, boy, I've heard him, George. You see, that's another guy that scares me.
No, he's going right by the numbers.
Oh, and Alex Jones used to be so great, and you guys, I mean, not you specifically, but I really see coast to coast, there's so many guys scaring themselves silly. I mean, you look at Canada and Australia.
There's a quote. I want you to go back and pick up a quote from Thomas Edison as he was quoting another person who talked about disarming citizens. Basically saying, if you disarm the citizens, the only ones who will be armed will be the criminal. And that I will always believe. In terms of some tightness, some regulation, taking care of loopholes, nobody wants to have some whacked out person to be able to go to a store and get a gun. But I'm telling you, criminals, if you're not armed, criminals will know exactly where to go. They will always be able to get weapons. Always. And they're going to go right after the people who are not armed. I'm sorry, just a fact of life. That's the way it is. Let's go to Zach, Fort Myers, Florida, Skype line. Hey, Zach, welcome to the program. Still out there?
Hi, George. How you doing?
There you go. Hey, good quality for that the Skype line there.
Yeah, I really like it. We had spoken about 2 months ago or so, and somebody had cut me off and popped into my line, so I don't know if that's common with Skype or I was just that lucky with the powers that be.
That's weird.
But what I want to talk to you about tonight was the time traveler, John Teeter.
John Teeter, who believes in a civil war.
Yeah. What I was telling you 2 months ago before I got cut off by the powers that be was I've seen some correlations in our timeline with what he said would happen. One of which being a big body armor manufacturer now is carrying the name Diamondback. And another being that Taurus Firearms recently merged with a company called Diamondback Firearms. And that might seem menial, but they supply a lot of firearms to security agencies and government agencies here in the state of Florida. And the third key to all this was that there are several private agencies in the state with the name Diamond in the agency's name.
Well, maybe Teeter knew exactly what he was talking about. He was a time traveler.
That's exactly what I was getting at. I took it upon myself to go out and do a little bit of research, and I found an expert. It wasn't, per se, Oliver Williams, but this person was very, very knowledgeable on the subject. And they sent me some of the direct quotes from the supposed time traveler. And one of the quotes was that there would be shotgun militias. And I thought that was strange until I realized that not even my agency has been able to purchase ammo, because it's not so much that there's an ammunition shortage, but there's a brass shortage. The only ammunition available is shotgun ammo.
Ah.
So there's a direct correlation there. So I try to get some more information from this expert. And
this is an expert into John Teeter, you're saying?
Right, right. They said that according to John Teeter, when he was a child, he remembers living near the city, and his neighbor's house was raided for firearms, and shortly after, his family moved away. Now, I thought, wow, that's very, very strange. And what I'm going to tell you, I've had trouble accepting, but about 6 months ago, my son was abducted, and he was abducted by my ex-wife, and I contacted local law enforcement for help, and instead, a few days later, they showed up and they raided my home. They stripped me of my state licensing, and they seized my firearms and, you know, my sidearm for my job. I was able to get a good attorney and get it all back. But shortly afterwards, my neighbor moved away, and I thought, wait a minute, that fits the story to the T. And I got to looking into this, and
are you saying your son is John Teeter?
No. I'm saying my son was abducted 6 months ago, and I haven't been able to find him. And
that's
there's strange. A reoccurring theme with time travelers, and the theme seems to be that they all lost somebody in their past. I've lost my son, and there's a famous physicist named Ron Mallet.
Oh, yeah. He's been on the show. He's trying to find his father.
Right, right. He's trying to build a time machine using lasers, yeah. And he wants to go back and visit his father. Well, this little boy who lived down the street from me that recently moved away was the correct age to be John Teeter. He was 15, and he lost his father about 3 years ago.
Interesting.
So I you know, I consulted a little bit more.
Well, and you know, it's funny. They were down in the Florida area. Then they moved to the Midwest, I think in Nebraska.
Right,
And their attorney is in Florida, by the way.
Right, right. Larry Haber.
That's right.
I've spoken with him. This time traveler theory, I kept looking into it. I said, you know, the coincidences, they're just too strong. It fits the storyline perfect. And this expert on the subject told me that every soldier of John Teeter's military unit was tasked with a job to go back in time to visit someone they lost. And it seemed to be that was the recurring theme in time travel. It was to send people back to, I suppose, relive times with loved ones.
Well, that could be, but Teeter was also coming back specifically because he needed to pick up a part from an old IBM computer that they didn't have in the future. And that was his main reason to come back, and that's when he did all his other things. We're still trying to get a hold of Larry Haber, by the way, the attorney for the Teeters, to do an update after my interview with him several years ago.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.